declare the meeting open at 9:33, and if I may just start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I'd like to pay respect to their elders past and present, and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians that may be present today. Just an item of housekeeping for those in the gallery. In the event of an evacuation, I'd ask that you remain calm and follow my directions. The emergency exit is through the gallery doors on the left, and down the stairwell and onto the exit to Bloomfield Street. Our standing orders direct public conduct at our meetings, so I'll just quickly run through that. All members of the public present at a meeting must, not without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any other persons present, be suitably dressed, turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who's not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period as decided by the chairperson. And that period may include future meetings. This morning we do have a couple of leaves of absence, councillors, so if I could just call for a mover and seconder for Councillor Golay to have a leave of absence granted. Move, Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Just we have one councillor absent, which is Councillor Elliott, for that vote. And that's because I'm about to ask for a leave of absence for another councillor, which is Councillor Mitchell. Can I have a mover and seconder, please, that we give Councillor Mitchell a leave of absence? Move, Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried, and Councillor Elliott is not in the room.
Yeah, do we need a leave of absence for Councillor Elliott, Mayor?
No. Yeah, we've been advised by these two councillors, so they will be. Councillor Elliott will no doubt be joining us shortly. Okay, over to our devotional segment. It's my great pleasure to welcome back Pastor Neil Collier of our Mount Cotton Community Church. He's also a member of our Minister's Fellowship, and I'd ask him to lead us in a devotional segment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, everyone. As I come to do the devotional segment, I would like to just share something about the life of Jesus that may not be apparent to everybody. You may or may not agree with what he said, but he would have to be one of the great leaders of all humanity, of all time. And one of the things that he did, which is quite remarkable, was take time to rest. This might seem like a good message to share in December when we've got a break coming. Now's not really the time for rest, is it? But Jesus didn't do it that way. He didn't work solidly for 11 months and then take a month off, or only take time off when he took leave. He took time out after each big thing that he did. When he did something big, he took time out straight after that. Almost remarkably, he'd take time away from even the people that were working with him. After feeding 5,000 people, it says that when evening came, he went to the mountainside and he was alone. Another time it says, he said to them, "Come, I need to show you. Come be by yourselves in a quiet place and get some rest." And they went away. This was right in the middle of a time when he was working solidly with people. Mental health experts will tell us we need to take a break. We need to take a rest. And we need to be listening to ourselves. So I really want to encourage us to think about that. Wait, watch, and then act. Take time to rest. Take time to think. One of the problems that we have with our devices these days is that we don't take time to think. We're responding all the time to what other people are thinking. When last did you take time to just sit by yourself and think, what do I want to do with my life? What's this week going to look like? What's this month going to look like? What would I like to achieve? People take time to reflect on their legacy when they are old and retiring. But we're writing that legacy right now. You're in the job. You can actually do something this week, this month, that you can remember one day if you do the right things. So don't just respond to other people. Live the dream that you set out to achieve when you put your name forward to do these, to do whatever it is that you set out to do. If we take time by ourselves relax, rest, think, pray, meditate, whatever that means for you, then you can regather your thoughts and redirect yourself to do the things that you really set out to do. So I encourage you to restock and re-energize, even though it's a long time till Christmas and the break. So let's pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Councillors, the next item on our agenda is the recognition of achievement. I've been advised that Councillor Hughes would like to recognise a young man that sadly isn't with us anymore. Declaration of interest. Declaration of interest, Councillors. Just reminding you of your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009. Details of those responsibilities are listed in your agenda, and I think you understand that you can make a declaration any time throughout this meeting. Apologies for that. Over to you, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge and share our Redland City's sorrow with the recent passing of Private Liam Alexander Wolfe, who lost his life in a tragic training accident at the Kapooka Army Base, Wagga Wagga, in New South Wales on the 23rd of April, so close to Anzac Day, with his loss mourned by a nation. Liam was a happy and lanky knockabout Year 12 graduate from Alexandra Hills State High School just last year. And turning 18, he was following his dream to serve our country in the Army. He was so proud to be accepted into the Defence Force, and equally so were his family. His mother, Susan Devine of Ormiston, has shared a quiet giggle over the past week as she strongly upheld Liam's memory and spirit. However, her grief and that of Liam's entire family has been truly heartfelt. For those of us close to Liam and his family, we have all had a heavy heart and more tears and hugs than anyone could count. The loss of Liam's life has been widely covered in the media, and emotional tributes have been shared on social media with an online memorial open if anyone would like to share a memory or kind word of Liam to his family. On behalf of Liam's mum Sue, I would like to thank the Australian Defence Force for their support, the extensive medical team that tried so hard to save Liam from Wagga Wagga Hospital, the Care Flight team, and the compassion at St George's Hospital in Sydney, where Liam passed. Liam's family donated his organs, and they have been advised that he has saved 5 lives. Liam's entire platoon, who travelled with Liam to bring him home, stood tall and proud next to him as he was laid to rest at Cleveland Cemetery last Friday, and it was an amazingly emotional moment for all of those young folk. The Cleveland RSL, who were so generous in supporting Liam's wake, we thank you. The entire Redland Mater Hospital team, where Sue is a nurse, for their collective never-ending support, and special mention for the beautiful liturgy that was presented by Father Frank Jones at St Mary MacKillop Catholic Parish, where Liam's funeral service was attended by hundreds of family, friends and army comrades. He will forever be honoured and remembered. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. I haven't been advised of any other recognition of achievement. If I may, I might just touch on an event that I had the great pleasure of attending on Friday night, which was the 2019 Channel 7 Young Achievers Award. It was actually a very proud moment for a mayor to turn up and realise how many of our young people were represented in various categories across the awards, which thousands of people nominated for. So if I could just acknowledge those people who were finalists in the first instance, Jessica Taylor from Alexandra Hills, Medina Mahmood, who would be no stranger to us. She was the Young Australian Young Citizen of the Year earlier this year, so she's followed up with an even more prestigious award. Michaela Hayes Adams-Query, a Quandamooka woman, and it was lovely to see Aunty Joan there celebrating that success. Rocket Productions, also we see them quite often at our events, such as at Christmas time performing Christmas carols. And our semi-finalists were Lauren Foster, Leah Lieber and Oliver Franklin. So as I said, really well represented. It was really great to see Medina take out the top award. Not only was she the winner of her own category, which was the Empowering Sir Optimus International Women Empowering Others Award, but she took out the overall award for the evening, and she said she'd spend her money with other potentially other finalists setting up a sustainable cafe. So once again, great honour for us to have young people like that in our community. Also, once again, on the sporting arena, congratulations to our Redland swimmers, Michaela Ryan and Shayna Jack, who performed well at the Australian Swimming Championships in Sydney last month. Shayna won 4 medals at the meet, and while Michaela competed in 6 individual events and 2 relays in the Women's Open, winning 5 gold in winning gold in 5 of those individual events and 2 golds in the relays. So once again, Redlands Coast has been well represented by our young people, so congratulations to all of them. Alrighty, now moving.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. A couple of things here. One is the opportunity to participate in a joint local government activity, the regional approach to waste and resource management. That report will come to Council at the end of the year. And the second one is the urgent business land at Ormiston. This report is listed as an item on 19.2 on this agenda.
Thank you, CEO. Next item is public participation. In accordance with Section 31 of our Policy 3127 Council Meeting Standing Orders, a period of 15 minutes may be made available by resolution to members of the public to address the local government on matters of public interest relating to the local government, and priority will be given to members of the public who make a written application to do so. So with that, councillors, can I please ask that we move into our participation segment, have a mover and second that we adjourn the meeting for 15 minutes. Moved, Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Mr. Wood, you've made an application. If you'd like to approach the microphone, and just as you're doing that, I'm told that you're speaking about potential impacts of a recent lot reconfiguration on your home business. You may have noticed a signage in the chambers also in regards to public participation in meetings. Council's usual practice to require any one person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or the organisation that they wish to represent, and also the subject that they would like to speak about. Just a reminder, this information is recorded in the minutes of this meeting, which is a public document available for inspection in Council's administration building and published on Council's website. Also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. So when you address this meeting, you will need to state your name and suburb organisation that you may be representing and what you want to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so, act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And I have some responsibilities as chairperson, which is to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. It's also my responsibility to give priority to members of the public who have actually written to the CEO to address the meeting, and also to determine the number of speakers based on the number of people wanting to speak and what subject they would like to speak about. And it's also, finally, my responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate and discussion cannot be entered into at this time. And if you'd like to now, Mr. Wood, you can start.
My name is Greg Wood. I live at 31 Dreverson Avenue, Cleveland. I'm a commercial fisherman. My topic concerns the splitting of the block of land behind my residence. It's been split in two sections of one for the house that's there already, fence put around that, and another part towards the back of the property at 197 Waterloo Street. Backs onto my court-approved odour model and noise model premises for me allowing to operate my fishing business from my premises. Council knows of all the problems I had with that over quite a few, over a decade anyway. I won't go into that, but the reports, I spoke to both experts that did the reports. One's noise, and that was done by noise assessment, and he said that my noise will inflict on the premises because it all got scaled to 22 to 50 metres. That's the weight of the eight buildings dwellings around me. And if you're going to stick a building or dwelling within 2 metres of the actual boundary or less, the noise affliction will be greatly non-appreciated by the new residents when they build a dwelling. This was none of my doing. This was approved on a plan from council in 26/3/18, which I have a copy here from one of the council planners. And subsequently, the property is owned, and I've spoke to the owner about it, and he's not very impressed that he wasn't advised that these reports were done, which he wasn't told about. The emissions is the same thing. The odour, it will conflict with the new dwelling because it will change the air displacement of the area. Therefore, if they leave a window open, the some odour could wander in there, or in their house while they're at work, or whatever. The situation with this is, when I went through the council the second time, when they first time they disqualified the C2881, original one from 1996, and I lost that on the 31st of March 2005 through no fault of my own, no court convictions, prosecutions or breaking any of the council conditions. It was just simply changed by someone in the council that thought that couldn't exist. And their own three experts in court said that this could exist in this sort of area. Now, I don't want to put anyone through what I went through, but that's why I'm here talking about it today, council. And subsequently, this council cannot let this go ahead, even though it's been approved. Well, they revoked my approval. Why not have revoked this one? And I didn't do anything wrong at all.
I just ask you to stick to the subject topic that you said you were going to talk about, Mr. Woods.
Well, the subject topic concerns my own.
Well, I think
we
need to make sure it's factual in discussing any elements of that. Thank you, Mr. Woodgate. This is being recorded. About 1 minute to to sum up.
I have copies of the reports that were tabled with council from the odour dispersion modelling, right? And it was done by Air Environmental Services down at Logan Home. I have a copy from the noise modelling done in the court case from Ron Rumbold, Renzo and Token Associates. And that said that certain things, and noise management services, this was given to every councillor and tabled in council and courts. My approval was approved in court on the 9th of operation of my business, the 9th to the 12th 2016. And less than a year and a half later, they approved the splitting of the block just before the new laws come in for the Redlands planning scheme. There's one block the house block is not 400 square metres, it's less, it's 300 and 372, and the other block left open to build a house is 527 metres. That's all I've got to say here. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Wood.
Thank you.
I haven't been advised of any other members of the public wishing to address council, so we'll move on to the next item, which is for, so we need to move back into session. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Next item is petitions and presentations. I haven't been advised of any petitions or presentations, councillors. Any motions to alter the order of business? Nope, being none, we'll move straight on to reports to council and begin with item 12.1. Can I have a mover and seconder for that? Thanks. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Just briefly, this is item 12.1, March 2019 monthly financial reports. I move the officer's recommendation to note the report. This is a this is important because this is the end of the third quarter. And I was just wondering, perhaps the CFO might likely briefly address the report.
Thanks, Councillor Edwards. Deborah?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, councillors, for the opportunity. So this is the ninth period of the year, March 2019 financials. It's the end of a quarter, so we note that there are 10 out of the 11 key performance indicators that are met. And that's a pattern that we've talked about before. When we get to the end of the quarter, those rates revenues come in under that KPI. So that's one to note of interest. In terms of cash balances, still looking strong. I think as a council, you're probably interested more in the exec summary, and it talks to we're tracking ahead. So we're tracking ahead in terms of that operating surplus or deficit position, which is always of interest to councillors. And that's due to contributing factors, some of them in the revenue space, so in that bulk water space and the water consumption space, which has an impact in both revenue and expenditure. And then there's also some savings that the organisation has identified, and council may wish to note those at the next agenda item 12.2. Happy to always take questions, Madam Mayor.
Any speakers against? Question, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, thanks very much to Deb and the team, as always. One of the points that was raised in under the subject on page 9 of 14, notable projects that I just touched base with, and thank you for passing on the information about that, it does refer to financially significant programs and projects with an annual budget of more than $1 million, and there being 20 of those, and these occasionally get featured, and the two that have been featured this time are the Station Master's Cottage and the Enhanced Visitor Experience. I did ask just for some clarification, and you provided some numbers, but just thought, because we're in public, if we could just share that information on the amounts associated with those particular projects, that would just be good and transparent. Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. So on the bottom of page 9, I think we spoke about the notable projects can include financially significant programs, so not all projects that the team includes on there are in that quantum in terms of the finances. But to answer your question, the Station Master's Cottage project has an annual budget this year of $590,000, and the Eastern Escarpment Enhanced Visitors Experience has an annual budget this year comprising 7 jobs with a total of $172,000. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, councillors? There being none, I will put the motion. Those in favour? Against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Next item is the budget review, councillors, 12.2. Could I have a mover and seconder? Thanks. Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bishop. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it?
Yes, I move item 12.2, 2018-19 final budget review to adopt the officer's recommendation. This report is a review of the 2018-19 financial years in accordance with local government regulations. This review doesn't change any of Council's financial policies, including rates or any other positions. But again, I'll probably defer to the CFO to make some comments on this this report.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. CFO?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. 2 years, Chair. Thank you, Councillor, for the opportunity. I'd like to use this opportunity, really, on behalf of ELT to thank our senior leadership team, because the SLT, which is made up of 16 group managers, have formed what we're calling an internal working group or an investment committee to really review the submissions. So those 16 managers, which I'm proud to be one of, got together and looked at the submissions. So what it's done is to say we want to not only deliver the programme this year, but ELT's also set four deliverables, one of them being improve council's financial position. And councils will note that in the operating statement there is actually a slight improvement to that operating deficit, because where we've had reductions to revenue streams in the operating revenue space, the SLT members have then gone and found savings or efficiencies in the operational expenditure space. So there's been a lot of hard work across those diverse groups, all 16 of them, to deliver to both ELT and councils this morning what we're saying is a sort of balanced position. We've got new information today that we didn't have on the 12th of December when you adopted the first budget review, and we're reflecting that through our financials. So a really good pat on the back for SLT for their good financial management. Happy to take any questions, but I think Councillor Edwards sort of talked to that there really is no change, that the KPIs are still in that vein. We've got reflecting council decisions, so we know council's made some decisions in recent weeks and months, so we've now reflected that through those budget submissions, and very proud to head up that group that's done the hard body of work here, so congratulations to it.
Thanks, Deb. Any other questions, comments? Councillor Bishop, question?
Yes,
just not speaking against, it's a question. Yep.
Just as a question, and just a point of clarification, if I may, in relation to there's an item, admin, a corporate fund, just in relation to an amount there. Just a clarification, if I can, from officers' I'm not sure in this particular report, but the information which was came late to us, but the information that we had yesterday, it's on page 15 of 18. I'm just wondering where it sits in the consolidated report.
Councillor, sorry.
So I was referring to just what's
where it sits
here.
Within this report.
That's right.
Deb.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, Chair. Thank you, councillors. So we know that what we've tabled today are those key financial statements that reflect those movements. We know that behind there's a huge body of work where officers look at job level. I oversee two groups. One is my own financial services, and we also have a corporate fund where we levy the rates and we do a lot of corporate transactions. So when we talk about there's a job number called admin corporate fund, that's really overseeing the corporate fund. That flows through into the organisational services department. So if you're wondering where does that sit, that will be on page 11 of your late papers. Page 7 of 12 in the budget pack. So there's an operating capital funding statement with organisational services, which Deb kindly has on the screen for us. So that flows up into their council law. And then the departments, there are four at council, all those four departments are consolidated at entity level to RCC. So that's where the corporate fund sits, and it flows all the way up to the entity level, Redland City Council. And that operating statement can be seen on page 5 of 12.
Great. And so that... Can you just... thank you for the clarification on page 7, if I may. Just so that changes in the capital fund will occur in the... Can you just say which line item of that it would be?
So the detail that you have there, councillor, is not in the agenda
the
today.
The consolidated, though, but it's consolidated and reflected in
absolutely.
Which
so whether if it's a revenue stream, it will become in the revenue. So if we look at page 7 of 12,
yes,
in the budget agenda item at 12.2, we'll note that operating statement for organisational services. It has an operating section and then a capital section. So if it's a movement in capital expenditure, it's in the section called Proposed Application of Capital Funds. So if we look on the right-hand column, there's a total movement there of $12.793 million. 50 of that came through this budget review. If we're talking capital revenue, it's in the section of the table above, and it's actually funding from general revenue. If it's operating in nature, it's at the top of that page, councillor, and it's either revenue or expenditure. So depending on the nature, whether it's revenue or expenditure, it sits in different parts in that financial statement.
Thank you. That's very helpful for me. Thanks very much.
Thank you, councillor. Any other questions? There being none, can I just reflect
and repeat what our CFO just said in regards to the SLT, our senior leadership group, finding the efficiencies and keeping our financial position very, very stable. So I think it takes a lot of effort. Been through a few budget reviews in my time. Tend to be an ask for more funds sometimes. So it was great to see them working together to find this position. So thank you very much. Would you like to sum up? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? That's carried unanimously, and Councillor Tolte is absent. Next item is our Audit Committee, 13th of March. Can I have a mover and seconder? Thanks for those minutes. Moved, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. Just in moving item 12.3, the Audit Committee of 13th of March 2019, and the report is clearly here with the notes. The notes are a summing up of the Audit Committee minutes, therefore all to see. Thank you.
Any questions? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? That's carried unanimously, and Councillor Tolte is absent. The next item is the Policy Audit Committee policy, 3009. Can we have a mover and seconder for that? Thanks. Moved, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes? Are we all with us today, councillors? We're just all very...
Thank you, Mayor. I was actually waiting. Item 12.4, the policy 3008 audit committee policy and 3009 internal audit policy review. This report has come about with the change to the requirements to the Local Government Act 2009, and both of these policies, which were one, and are now separated. So again, as read. Thank you.
Any questions, councillors? Any speakers against? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously, and Councillor Tolte is not present. The next item is our policy 3134, investigations policy, which is a new policy. Councillors, can I have a reverence?
Mayor, I'd like to declare a conflict of interest. I'll be leaving the meeting there. Would you like me to state my conflict? Mayor, the investigations policy is a result of complaints made about councillors. I have a large number of complaints made about me. Mayor, I'll be leaving the room, but I would like to also point out, under the new legislation, failing to declare a conflict of interest can result in charge of corruption and instant dismissal of jobs. I've sought advice, and those people that have been making the complaints may also be subject to the same conflict of interest. Thank you.
Policy position. Adopting a policy is actually not a conflict, but if you want to leave the... No, I didn't, councillors. No. That was the audit policy. No. No. Sorry, councillors, you're not with me today. No, I'm sorry. Okay, so just to be clear, we are just about to debate the investigation policy, which has been a piece of legislation changed by the state government for us to adopt, okay? So Councillor Gleeson has decided to declare a conflict of interest. It's his right to do so. I would suggest that it's a policy that we have to adopt, and there probably, arguably, would not be a conflict of interest, but he has decided to leave the room based on that. So with that, councillors, we have a mover and seconder. No, we need a mover. No, because he's voluntarily decided to leave the meeting. So can we have a mover and seconder? Thanks. Move, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
Only insofar as to say that there are reasons that focus upon good governance is a priority, and I think the state government, being the designer of all laws relating to the state of Queensland and all councils that come underneath that, have taken a position where they are refining and defining the parameters within which elected representatives should operate. There are different views on that, but in terms of what has been proposed, I understand, and I will ask for clarification through you, Madam Mayor, to the General Manager for Governance, if I may, for clarification that what we are adopting today is generally in accordance with what the state has proposed, and there are some slight adjustments that are specifically to make sure that there is an arm's length approach and that the balance of these issues that will be addressed by Council through this policy are not those matters of significance that will threshold and need to be dealt with by the independent Office of the Independent Assessor. That most of the cases that will be any cases that get referred will go to the Office of the Independent Assessor, and in the instance that some need to be referred back to Council, this gives us guidance, from what I understand, as a policy about how we manage those things going forward. So if I can ask through you, Madam Mayor,
John
for clarification as to any discrepancies or changes from that proposed policy from the State.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Councillors. Yes, the policy before you now is a statutory requirement for us to adopt one. The government did put out, I'll call it a model or a draft, and what we are adopting today is substantially the same as the model. Some minor changes were you have options about who the investigator is and whether that's the mayor or whether it's a council officer. Our recommendation is that that be a council officer and not the mayor, so that's reflected in this policy document. It is true that all complaints about council conduct now are referred to the Office of the Independent Assessor. That is the appropriate authority to deal with them. They are dealing with dozens, hundreds at the moment across the state, but they've had a bit of a backlog. This sets out how we are to deal with complaints that are referred back to us, and our expectation is that there won't be that many. There will be at a minimum, and that most will continue to be dealt with by the Office of Independent Assessor. However, if you look at this policy, it talks about things which we need to do to make sure that when we do deal with complaints, that we deal with everybody, complainants and others, fairly and equitably, and that we go through a structured process and that it comes to Council so that decisions made have that deal of transparency as well.
Are there any other questions or comments, Councillors? Councillor Edwards?
Yes, I'd just like to make a comment that local government is under intense scrutiny, as we know, over recent years and particularly over recent times. And I think there is an expectation of the public in general that all elected members should be transparent in all their dealings. I see no fear with this process at all. I think anybody coming in in an elected position should be aware of their obligations and responsibilities to do that, and I don't see this particular councillor, from my observance, has got any concern about this. The only thing I would have perhaps liked to have seen is that the entire process personally dealt offshore, away from council completely. So I'm a little bit concerned that it's come back into this arena. However, I am very comfortable with the changes that we don't have our mayor in the process, because that creates a perception outside the community, so she's damned if she does and damned if she doesn't. So having elected officers, I think that's a good cause, and I hope that this process it puts in gives some confidence in the community that councillors support it, and if you don't do the wrong thing, you've got nothing to worry about.
Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Chair. Totally agree with Councillor Edwards' statement. We all wanted this offshore, you know, and I thought that's where it was going. And then as the information leaked out to the councils, we found we're still in the game. And I don't like having skin in the game on these decisions with, you know, fellow councillors and stuff like that. So certainly, hopefully this will evolve into a full offshore, that they do the assessment, they make the thing, and council doesn't have to do anything. Years ago, and I remember years ago we had the remuneration, the half-baked remuneration, where they'd make a decision, but we still had to ratify it. At the end of the day, they changed that. So I'm hopefully this will evolve. I think it's a good start, and it will evolve into fully the Office of Independent Assessment will do the whole lot in future and end of story. Thank you.
Are there any other comments, Councillor Hughes?
This is, thank you, Mayor. Sorry, this is a detailed policy. And I would just like to thank Tony Binion and Marita West, our governance team, that have led us through this under Mr. Oberhart's leadership, because it is very detailed. A moving feast, as we've all noted, as the state government has led down these changes to us. Some confusion at the start and a lot of confusion. Now this is giving us some clarity, and I really thank the team for that.
Thank you. Any further comments? I'll just probably add to Councillor Edwards and Councillor Elliott that we did actually want this process to be completely handled by what is now quite a skilled office of independent assessor. They have the resources to do that. And, you know, as you would know in previous episodes, that I have been accused of not being, not dismissing a councillor, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm very grateful for council's support to take me out of the investigator role. I think that always plays badly out in the community. And what the community doesn't understand is that I don't have the power to dismiss a councillor. I am not, in fact, your boss, councillors. That I have been... Lucky you. and that, in fact, the penalties are prescribed, so I don't even have the choice of what sort of penalties would apply. So this isn't perfect, as Councillor Elliott has said. It has been a work in progress with the department, it's fair to say. I hope that they will be open to those types of amendments as have been discussed. So this is, a start, but hopefully it's modified so we can take the politics and the politicians out of making such decisions, because it doesn't matter what you do. As Councillor Edwards says, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So I thank councillors for supporting us moving forward, and look forward to making further representations based on those improvements that need to be made. I'll hand back to Councillor Edwards. Sorry, Councillor Bishop, I didn't realise you had your hand up. Councillor Bishop. Oh, you moved it. Sorry, my apologies. I mean to get for the game as well. Sorry.
That's okay. We do work together as a team when it's called for, and I think some of the points that have been raised, and it's called for always in the eyes of the community, which is how we work together.
Okay.
Such collegiate manner.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop.
I think the points that have been raised are testament to the critical nature. We make laws here, and we need to be held accountable by the citizens to make those laws and deal with funds. All of the funds that come through our rates and charges are dealt with through the processes of what we make decisions about as a council. So I think it is appropriate that where possible it does go offshore. We have asked for some clarity as to what are the threshold of issues that will be brought back to us. That is still a little bit of a movable feast from what we understand. And I think that the citizens are actually our boss, and they're the ones who do hold us account at election time. In the meantime, the Office of the Independent Assessor are there to take care of that for us in this process by adopting this. There are times when we will have to do that among ourselves, and I think it's appropriate that we do, and that we're always on guard about making sure that we are making those decisions in the best interest of citizens. So with that, I move the motion. Thank you.
Thanks, councillors. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you, councillors. Could someone please advise Councillor Gleeson to return to the meeting? I guess I just want to make sure that he's in the room for the vote, that's all, to be fair. But I don't seem to be able to locate him. All right, we'll just move on with the subordinate local law operation of cemeteries. Have a mover and seconder for that. Move, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Hughes, would you like to speak to that?
Thank you, Mayor. I would, actually, yes. Moving item 12.6, making subordinate local law number 1.9, operation of cemeteries 2015. We have spent a considerable time over recent months reviewing our local laws, and the team have put a lot of effort into this. Our cemeteries are really important, and on Friday the team that helped with Liam were outstanding. So I've seen the work of our cemetery folk up close and personal. This change here that we have before us is very minor, and in moving with legislation again and some little minor administrative issues. So with that, I would just like to recommend the officer's notes. Thanks.
Any speakers against? Any comments? Questions? No? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Motion's carried. Councillor Gleeson is absent. Item 12.7, mover and seconder, thank you, for another subordinate law. Move, Councillor Edwards, seconded. Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards? Thank you, Councillor. Any speakers against? Any questions or comments? Comment, Councillor Hughes?
Yes, thank you, and thank you, Councillor Edwards. Just noting, as we've said, minor administrative changes. However, it might seem minor to us, but the wording altered to a certified copy of the death certificate of the deceased person rather than evidence of identity of deceased person when many years could have passed by. However, we can help our families in these emotional times, and simplifying with administrative changes like this, simplifying process for our residents and families, I thank you. I think it's really important and very good.
Any other comments or questions? Being none, any summing up are required? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Sorry. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 12.8, councillors, fuel load assessment, fire management planning. Move, Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a good step forward, and do you want me to move the officer's recommendation first? Sorry. Okay, all right.
I'll note that we have got a representative from QFES in the back of the room. Should we have any questions?
Okay, well, officer's recommendation as made. This is an interim report, and there's a lot more information to come once we have that 10 Rivers report that is detailed. So I'll look forward to that, and I thank the officers for their efforts in putting this together. It was wasn't short notice, but reasonably short notice. There are a number of concerns that I still hold, and some of the answers to those questions will come through more clearly as we get further along the process. The report mentions the responsibilities of local government, and it references the Disaster Management Act of 2003, where the local government is primarily responsible for disaster management within the local government area. And that is where the responsibility lies with this group, to ensure that every measure that should be reasonably taken is taken. I do hold some concerns with regard to the approaches that are standard practice within local government with regard to this legislation. And we're in a unique situation where we're one of the few local government areas that, were we to form a rural fire service, would be forming it post the emergency services levy. So that does make things a little bit more complex for us. There is community engagement referenced in the report, and I'd like to acknowledge and congratulate our disaster management team. They are very good at our communication and engagement and education for disaster management. Our mapping and the plans that they've put forward for disaster management are second to none. And at every opportunity I know within my electorate, which is the one of the highest fire danger electorates in the city, the team are always willing to give up their time on weekends to attend fetes and community events and get that information out there, and they do a very good job. So I'm very appreciative of that always. My concern is that at the moment we have that moving feast of legislation at state level, and we are trying to understand through planning scheme changes and planning regulation changes and vegetation overlays and all of those complex matters exactly where we sit within the fire mitigation and fuel management area. It's difficult to go out and engage with the community when they have questions that we don't fully or we're not fully able to answer. So the part of this process will give us a better understanding of how we can put together fact sheets and information sheets that will help our residents to better understand that. And I look forward to getting to the point where we can have clarity over all of those areas with regard to the rights and responsibilities of our residents in regard to managing and helping our local government manage our fire risk. There is concern from my perspective and a little bit of a tension within the report that we say that we have that responsibility under the Local Government Act for managing that, and that fire preparedness activities within Redland City are our responsibility, not necessarily to carry out but to ensure that someone is carrying them out. But at the same time within the report we say, however, bushfire risk on private property is the responsibility of landowners. So there's a tension there that sits with we on the one hand are responsible, and on the other hand we offhand it to our landowners and say they must do it, but we don't always have the answers, and it's very difficult for them to know what they can and can't do, and will they get themselves into trouble by doing it. So we need to be able to give them better guidance. There is a list of properties that are under council management within the report, and there's a very comprehensive list of properties for fuel reduction management that have been provided by the officers, and that's great. We thank them for that. There are other areas that are not under our direct control which are still of concern from a fire management perspective, and I would think even if we're not under our direct control, we need to at least ask the question the who and how they are being managed. State government land that is not managed by council is not included in this, as well as obviously private property, but that's an aside. Areas, for example, like Coolwimpin Nature Reserve, Koala Reserve, Swamp Box Conservation Reserve and the Indigiscapes land are not in this list. So I think that we need to take a broad look at all of those areas that might cause concern. And I'm sure the officers are doing that. It's just not in this report at the moment. There is a section in the report at page 2 which talks about our own staff making visual assessments in the first 3 months of the year. I'd have to ask through this process whether having our own staff making those assessments would be, whether we would be better served, and that without any criticism of our staff, but to give them surety and to give them support, that we should have an independent assessment done, so that not only our officers are looking at it, but our officers are getting support and independent confirmation of their assessment from someone outside of our own organisation during that assessment in those 3 months. We have substantial amount of land which is in that fire risk management area through Sheldon, Mount Cotton, Bayview, Native Dog Wetlands. I think that it's difficult with this because it could be so huge and the officers have to make it manageable. But those things that are not in the report, we have to at least question and make sure that they are covered somewhere within our system. Certainly the activities in national parks carry out their fire mitigation, but we need to look at how that meshes, particularly in Division 6. We've got Daisy Hill Forest and Venman's right on our doorstep. We need to know how our fire mitigation and their fire mitigation are working together to give an overall better management for both the ecological values and for our residents, particularly for the residents of West Mount Cotton and Sheldon, and outside of the city, Rochdale and so on, obviously. I'm looking forward to the Ten Rivers report for the mainland. It's absolutely essential, and I hope that it's broad enough. I'm concerned about this idea that anything that's declared private property or not under our management, we don't have to look at. We do have to look at that, in my view, and I hope that we will be doing that. I'm also concerned that our fire management report notes that those private landholders who have a bushfire risk can, you know, refer their concerns to Queensland Rural Fire Service. There are a whole group of discussion points which I think this council needs to address. If we are going to be telling our community that our plan is that they have to refer to Rural Fire, then we have to ask ourselves if it's appropriate for other communities to be paying levies for Rural Fire Services and other communities to provide volunteers for their Rural Fire Services, and then for us to expect our residents to be able to piggyback onto that. I personally don't think it is. I think that our residents will be proud to stand up and look after their own communities, and we need to enable them to do that. But that is a decision for later on after we get the rest of these reports. Under the risk management, the report seeks to say that the risk is a failure to plan, and that really our only risk is that we won't know the risk that we're facing. Well, that's a pretty big risk. There is a budget implication in this report which we're not fully aware of yet, and I support the council's direction to consider the budget separately. I think that we do need to do that, but we cannot allow this to fall away. We must, under our obligations, ensure that we are in a reasonable way funding what needs to be funded.
Okay, Councillor, you've probably exceeded your 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll wrap up there and let the other councillors have their natter, as Councillor Elliott always says. But I do thank the officers for the report. It's an interim report, and we're on our way to at least getting a fuller picture, and that's very good. Thank you.
Speaker against? Councillor? No speakers against? Okay, well, in that case, I've got Councillor Edwards, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Bogwari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I won't take 5 minutes. Of particular interest to me is the Ten Rivers report that's attached in the report is on the Rural Fire Strategy Review for Russell Island, which is the first of the reports to come out. It's quite interesting reading, and the recommendations of the fire management zones, and gives me or any layperson reading a better understanding of how these zones could be put in place and how they can be managed, and even details into things such as the vegetation and the fire periods in amount of years in between. So you just can't keep going in and burning out fire because you have that ecological effect on them. So it really needs to be managed. As Councillor Toldy touched on, is that the fact that this only applies to what strategies can be taken to council-owned land and not private land. But what it does do, if I had private-owned land within these fire management zones, this report gives an indication of what can be taken and if it was me, I'd be prompted even to contact council to see if there's anything I can do in my property that works in what council's management is with. Even goes into things like tracks and fire trails, clearances, distances away, how long far clearance should be from power lines and things. So it's a really good report, and on page 150 it gives some recommendations of prioritisation of how these processes can be put in place. So I think it's a great report. I understand we've got one coming to us from Macleay Island shortly, and one also from the mainland. So once that body of work comes together, I think it gives us a better understanding of management, and certainly gives me a better understanding of the management of fire. And it's not a simple process. It definitely is a lot more science than art. But I'm supporting the recommendation. Thank you.
Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Like all of us, we acknowledge that there are significant matters that this needs to address, and I want to thank the officers working with QFIS and across all the various departments. What I'd like to speak about is, in the interests of balance going forward, because I think that what necessarily comes up when we look at land management, and particularly fuel load assessment and fire management planning, is necessarily a tension that does exist in the city. And I think as the decision makers and the designers and creators of policy, we need to balance our way forward. So if I can on one hand acknowledge that there is a large constituent base that believe in and value the naturally wonderful aspect of Redland City, that large estate of land that does exist across the balance of this entire city, which is incredibly valuable and has a great deal of ecological significance and does need to be balanced based on the principles of ecological sustainability. We know that that land over the fullness of the last 150, 60 years of European settlement has been altered dramatically, and we are dealing with fuel load assessment and fire management matters. As we look now with the recent reports that have looked at the fuel load and the areas that potentially have significance that could impact citizens, infrastructure, and all of the matters relating to the essential delivery of services across the city, we're looking through the lens particularly of fuel loads and fire, which strikes fear into the hearts of landowners and of councils based on a concern about loss of life, loss of property, and real costs associated. The reason I would like us to acknowledge that tension between those two forces and factors as we look at this is I believe that some of the work that is being done by our officers, which has always been done incredibly well, to identify the matters of ecological significance, to make sure that the pre-burn, this is the controlled burns, pre-burn, during the event of a cool burn and various types of burns, and then post-event, we need to do as much as we possibly can as councillors to support the resourcing necessary to make sure that the impact on the lands that we do own and that we do manage and therefore must control is done to an exemplary standard of best practice, because the naturally wonderful element sits entirely in the hands of we the citizens and us the lawmakers of how we create those policies. I believe that there is more work that could and should be done to balance this report, because the concern is that if we do not set that tone exactly as we should for the existing and future management of the estate of the naturally wonderful element of Redland City, we are setting the tone for what will become the work that must be done by citizens on their own land. And if we do not establish what are those principles, what are those species, what are those ecologies, those microclimates that might be of significance that they should manage, and that they do manage very well in most instances, and I have to acknowledge that many of the landowners do manage these things because they've got various businesses and they're living their life in relationship to the land. So I think it's really important that we acknowledge their local knowledge. But where we can give guidance, I think there's more information. Sorry, Madam Mayor, is there? I think the more we can get clarity as to what our officers...
Sorry, what's
your... I just noticed you were smirking, and I was just wondering if there was something that...
I wasn't smirking, thank you.
Sorry, maybe you were holding.
Thank you.
Withdrawn?
Thank you.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I was just trying to concentrate. I do withdraw that comment if that was inappropriate. Beg your pardon?
Please continue, Councillor.
I think that's putting words into my mouth. So I think that where we can find information and resource our officers and create a policy of management of the entire balance of the area that is prone to the fire management related control burns, and I know that the officers are doing that work, and where we can feature that more prominently, I think we should, and I think that's an important part of the education process, that we allow the community to be aware of the good work that officers are doing, and we bring that into the minds of landowners so that they can be aware of the information in the Ten Rivers report, and the use of controlled burning, which has always happened in Redland City and is an important part of the way we manage things going forward. So I would like to see more of a focus placed on that ecological significance and where we can feature the examples that the officers are currently doing and could do better, so that we can establish that best practice, so we set the tone for private landowners. I think that's an important part of the way that we do our work going forward. Thank you.
Councillor Borglari.
Thank you. I too would just like to thank the officers. Sometimes we don't understand what they're actually doing and it mightn't be written in a report, but I know I had quite a severe bushfire down in Jeskina wetland back in 2010, and since then it's not written up what they're doing, but I know Rory and his team are always down there doing fire management and keeping it, the fuel load and everything down. So we mightn't always see what they're doing, but the community can rest assured they're out there doing the work. One thing that has impressed me at the last local government, local disaster management meeting that the Mayor and I attended, the officers and QFES and everyone else involved are actually changing their practices as they learn more about the way the fires are coming more to Redlands, unfortunately, and they're including now the First Nations fire practices, and since including them in the last fire, those benefits were actually shown. So the officers are evolving as well with the practices, and I was just wondering, through the Mayor, we have the actual specialists, we can all talk about it, but we're not the specialists, and we have them all sitting down the back, and I didn't know
I think they were here to answer questions.
Yeah,
if necessary.
Would anyone like to speak to the report, because you are the actual ones who know what you're talking about?
Well, I think I without trying to put them on the spot, I unless there's a question, I think
They might like to, because they know what they're doing better than anyone.
Yeah, well, I think the report speaks for itself, and they're here to answer any questions. So otherwise we're just putting them on the spot, Councillor.
I was just going to let them have a chance to highlight their good work. So I haven't got that chance, but I'd just like to sincerely thank you for all you do for our Redlands, and I look forward to the mainland report as well. Thank you.
Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor, and supporting Councillor Boglari and Councillor Tolte in their comments. Going to the Ten Rivers report on page 151 of our agenda, the picture here that teaches us about the loads and the different fuel loads and canopies, we can all learn, and it's really important that when you read these notes and it's saying science-based approach for land managers, what we think we know and what is actually the fact, and going back to our First Nations people and the tradition that they have managed our lands for so long, I think this is a great illustration. And if you look at the report and think, oh, I can't read that, or I can't absorb it, or it's over my head, which it can be, I understand, for some, this picture, this illustration is really well, and it's there on the screen, really well, just a snapshot of what we can learn. With the officer's recommendation, I noted and I felt, following on from Councillor Tolte's comments, this report does have budget implications for us next year, and I would have liked to have seen an extra dot point in the recommendation, but understand that we don't have a specific dollar and that we are just noting this report. But I think, therefore, our residents, please be aware, heads up, we are looking at this, we do understand the significance of it, we do support the work that our officers and the rural fire brigades, our emergency services are all putting in together, and there will be budget implications for us to consider in our upcoming budget of 19-20. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Any other comments? If I could probably just add to it, I take very seriously my role as Chair of the Local Disaster Management Group. It's a legislative responsibility. We live in a nation of fire and flooding rain, but in this city we probably deal with fire way more than we deal with floods, and that's not a bad thing, but it's also not a good thing. It's the one thing that keeps me awake at night, knowing that we have done our utmost to make sure that our residents are protected from any type of disaster. I certainly don't want to be the mayor that ever has to face the similar outcomes of the 2011 floods in front of a Royal Commission, and so it's really incumbent on us to make sure that we understand the lay of the land and we understand our responsibilities and what needs to be done.
we hear about the naturally wonderful estate, and that it is. And it's interesting because, as Councillor Boglari has well illustrated, just recently there's been some great work done with Quandamooka on North Stradbroke Island. Strangely enough, for tens of thousands of years, fire has actually been part of protecting their ecological estate. And I can say from what I've seen that they're doing a great job, and we can all learn from that across the whole state of Queensland. I do also acknowledge, however, over time, things have changed. Not just our own legislation, disaster management legislation, but, you know, governments change and there are different types of legislation that has a siloed, but it's a siloed effect that has an impact on all of these things. Things such as the Vegetation Management Act, things such as our planning scheme. And in their own isolation, they're all great decisions, but when you start putting together, there is a consequence, and we do need to understand that consequence. Even recent appeal court findings have an impact on how we manage fire across the state. So I'm very thrilled to have this report. It will still keep me awake at night until we know that we are doing our best possible efforts to make sure that balance is with life and our ecology, and they do work hand in hand. And you know, we've experienced things such as the Russell Island fire, and let me tell you, we're the first people that are under fire, so to speak. Excuse the pun. So, and as the role of mayor is the disaster management chair, there is legislative responsibilities, and I encourage us to keep moving down this path to make sure we get that balance right. So, if there's no further comments, I will hand back to Councillor Tolte to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, thank you to the officers for this report. I'm looking forward to seeing the next phase of this and the assessment of the mainland by Ten Rivers and the education and actions that can come out of that as we move forward. As the Mayor has mentioned, this is a really serious matter. I find a lot of contradictions in the way our various pieces of legislation and regulation overlap when we have directions and planning scheme matters which require certain direction in planting and not just for individual landowners, but the way housing estates are laid out, road designs, all of those things should be considered within the context of this. We have a historical legacy in particularly in my electorate, but certainly across the city, where at different times different priorities have governed those things. I have, for example, a beautiful housing estate in my electorate which is an environmental estate, but from a fire management perspective you would today never allow roads to be designed in that way, and it's worrying, and it causes then us to have to address things like this fire mitigation in a more complex way, because we're trying to overcome historical legacies as well. So thank you to the officers, and let's keep moving forward and keep looking at this and make sure that we do our utmost for our community.
With that, councillors, I put the motion. Those in favour? Against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 13.1, mover and seconder for these delegated items. Moved Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
Only insofar as to move the officer's recommendation for decisions made under delegated authority for categories 1, 2, 3, development applications.
For no questions, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Item 13.2, mover and seconder. Moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott? Thank you. No questions, councillors. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Against? That's carried unanimously. Now, item 13.3, I believe we have an alternative motion, Councillor Tolte. Item 13.3.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I don't know if it's a... Is it an alternative motion?
Yes.
Under the new rules?
It is now. It is now.
It is essentially supporting the officer's recommendation with the exception of some portions of the bushland. So I'd like to move that if I can, Madam Chair.
Move.
Tolte, second to Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you. Apologies to the councillors that this is late coming. You're all aware of the matter in hand, which is the reclassification of bushland on lot 11 on RP55933. And essentially, the applicants have applied to Ground Truth and have some aspects of the, well, probably the whole block in effect, altered to reflect the habitat values that are there. What I have proposed in this motion is that we accept those submissions to increase the habitat value as ground truth on the majority of the block, but those portions that are relative to the development application for units, which is for councillors' recollection, the part in the north corner and the part in the easterly end, those two sections, one that would eventually accommodate sewer and the other which is a change to the bushland habitat in the highest part of the site, in the most easterly end of the development area, that we leave that as is for the moment, and that should there be need to change that, it can be challenged as part of the overall development application rather than as a separate application to change the habitat overlay.
Thank you. Councillor, any speakers against? I think I've got Councillor Boglari first, and then I'll come to you, Councillor.
I discussed this yesterday with Councillor Tolte. If you bring up the actual maps, I thought, and Councillor Tolte talked to it then, because I think councillors, just if you could go over it again, Councillor Tolte, just to show it on the coloured map, what areas you're talking about, that might make it clearer.
The two areas in lilac, so the overall plan that's been applied for is reflected in the colour zonings there. I'm suggesting that councillors support the officer's recommendation, which supports overall the changes to those values on the overlays, with the exception of that small lilac portion highlighted there at the bottom of the image and the lilac portion in the top right hand corner, that they not be changed but the rest be accepted.
Question, Councillor Elliott? Sorry, is that...
Can I ask if that particular map puts out, clarifies it for the public what they were intending to do?
So that's the other map on the report?
Yeah.
Can we see if we can bring that up?
Yeah, no, it shows the final thing. Okay. Can I say just... I'm not sure. I'm in two minds over this, and I'm not sure whether to vote for this or not, simply because the outcome is a great outcome. And I've always had question there's horse trading that goes on. But this is what they've offered is a significant good outcome, and I'm not looking at the application. I don't even know what it's about. But this is that is a good outcome for the community, full stop. And I'm concerned that it could be withdrawn, and the application still rattles along, and nothing worse than getting a bad outcome, and we didn't get the green space. So I'm sort of but this is probably a comment, but certainly it's. That's my concern. I think that's a good outcome. Really, overall, the application is a completely different thing. That'll be voted on it at another time. But certainly, I think what they offered is a good outcome for the community and the environment.
Thank you. Can I just... I know I've got a couple of people with hands up. Just a question to the officers. This decision could be challenged, negotiated, so they could actually come back and ask us to re-prosecute their request. So I think... like any DA decision, there's that opportunity. And I totally agree with you. This is to be consistent. This is logistically, it makes sense to do what they're doing, but we do anticipate the changes coming forward in the application, which is difficult to separate. Anyway, sorry, I had Councillor Hewlett. So the officers have said yes, they could come back and
just
negotiate.
Just a question, Madam Mayor, and for clarification, I recall a similar thing recently that Councillor Hughes brought forward about the downgrading of a quiet, and we weren't even allowed to refer to the application, but in this case, we're making allowances for the application. I just want to know what clarity. I thought we had to just judge this on the face value of what they want, not refer to the application.
Well, yeah.
Well, not actually, because people are talking about the application.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Yes, you are.
I agree that we have actually dealt with these items separately. So when we're talking about reclassification, it is a separate decision to an application. Okay, all right. Well, you
was lodged.
Okay. It's council's decision as to how they decide this. Now, Councillor Boglari, you wanted another question?
I agree with what Councillor Elliott said, that it's a good outcome for the community because we're getting some of the environment up zone type thing, upgraded. And the part which, that bottom bit on the other map you can see, now I haven't... The development application is mentioned in here, but I haven't seen it as yet, of course. But now that one. So that bottom section, they've actually requested that to be lowered, haven't they, in habitat value now? And that's what we're not saying. We're holding firm on that. So I just didn't like it insinuated that we were making a change for a development, because we're not, and I just wanted that clarified. Thank you.
Okay, councillors. They're obviously offsetting changes within the rehabilitation areas, so it doesn't prevent them from applying, is what you're saying. Well, maybe it does. It prevents them from applying over that area, correct? Yes.
No. I meant it's not a negative outcome what we're getting today environmentally wise.
No,
that's what I meant. Not. I didn't care about the development. I meant environmentally wise, it's not a negative.
No, you might argue it's a positive. Yeah. The quandary that we're in, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop,
thanks,
you
Mayor.
Have your hand up. Sorry. Oh, you go first, Councillor Bishop. Sorry, he did have his hand up earlier. My apologies.
Thank you very much. Because of some questions that in the room, it would be good to have a clarification from the officers, if I may, through you, because I agree that what is being proposed by the officers' recommendation does give us a benefit, gives certainty to the developers. And I'm referring to what the officer's recommendation was, gives us certainty and gives clarity to the developer, the owner. I'd just like to ask, with this proposal of the adjustment to include those two other areas, whether that will jeopardise.
Councillor Tolte, please.
If we can ask for clarification from the officers, whether we move from certainty and clarity from as council and as the developer to an area of uncertainty and contestability that might potentially lose the gain that the officer's recommendation is going to give. I just want to basically clarify and cross-check what Councillor Elliott suggested, which is the concern about what we might be giving up by going into that grey area and asking for what I certainly acknowledge the local councillor is requesting, which is more, if we can possibly get it. How likely is it it's likely to be contested? And I don't want to refer to the development application, which is a separate matter.
Our decision provides a level of certainty, I would imagine, at the end of the day.
The question then to the officer is...
Chris,
is
do you want to respond?
Matter of the...
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the application before council is to consider whether those areas that are proposed to be changed better reflect the definitions under the planning regulation of rehabilitation habitat or bushland habitat. So the report goes into those definitions and provides a recommendation. The two areas that are proposed to remain in the alternative motion, the implication is they're currently proposing development within those areas. The planning regulation doesn't allow council to approve any removal of non-juvenile koala habitat trees within the bushland habitat area. So those two areas remaining in bushland habitat will mean that no non-juvenile koala habitat trees will be able to be removed, which will likely mean that they'll need to redesign their development in its current form, which is proposing to remove non-juvenile koala habitat trees, particularly in the area to the northeast.
And so in relation to that, if I may through you, Madam Mayor, would you anticipate that they are likely then to contest any adjustment to what is proposed in terms of this? It will be, but I don't... And I'm asking the officers for that because I've got to make that guess. So,
Through the chair, it's an option available to them, so they can seek a judicial review of the decision that council makes today. Whether they do or not is their decision.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. Just a question on procedure. Councillor Hewlett's raised that we're considering the development application in this decision, and I just have concerns that about the procedure now that's been raised. Are we at risk of wrongdoing or
no.
These
decisions are council decisions. That's why they're before us today. And, you know, clearly you'll have to give some reasoning around it, but that's... We're entitled to do that. There's no issues with that. Councillor Elliott?
Just on that, Councillor Telty made no comment about the detail of the application. So it's a development area. We all said that, but she made no comment about what was in it.
Thank you. And I think what's a very, very different about this particular block of land is that it's actually not in the urban footprint either. So it's got a whole different level of process to go through, legislative process and fundamentally state legislation that it has to meet. So this is state legislation that we're talking about. So you know, it's not an easy decision for councillors, I understand. If you have more to add, Councillor Elliott.
Through you to Councillor Telty, would you consider I know the bottom bit, I'm happy to support that, but the top bit I'm not, if I could put it that way. So I'm just...
Can I suggest... Councillor Elliott, would you like to propose an amendment, in which case?
Councillor Telly can't withdraw that and change that?
I don't think so. It's been moved and seconded, Councillor. It's a live motion, okay. So you'd have to move an amendment to remove the
northeastern
portion.
To allow the northeastern person to...
Okay, so I just need to have that motion. So it would, the amendment which Councillor Elliott is proposing just removes out the northeasternmost area proposed to change, is that right?
I think we've got a better chance of... Don't want to talk about the development. We've got a better chance of securing the environmental outcomes we're looking for, and bar the bit on the bottom.
I'd agree with that too. So, councillors, I need to. It'll go back to your motion if this one goes down.
Yep.
So we'll move the amendment. We don't. At the moment, we have your alternative motion, and that's live, and we're debating that. Councillor Elliott is entitled to move an amendment to that motion. If it fails, it comes back to your motion.
I'm happy to move the amendment.
So we'll just get that amendment up there so councillors are clear. So we'll just remove... Goes back to the officer's recommendation. No, because you moved an alternative... We had this discussion. No. Correct.
If you like. on something, you've got to get somebody else to move it so you can have your day. And
correct. Okay. So we have, we're always, the amendment, and we're going to be voting just on the amendment, councillors, so we're not voting on the whole motion, the amendment. So you, we are removing, we are moving that element and the northeastern area proposed to change. So that's, Councillor Elliott is moving that amendment. Can I have a seconder to that amendment, please? Councillor Gleeson has second. Councillor Gleeson has seconded that motion. So, would you like to speak to it further, Councillor?
Madam Chair, I think it's quite clear.
All right. So we're going to test. We're voting our councillors to be very clear, just on the amendment. So can I have a show of hands, please, for those who support that amendment? You're voting for the amendment, councillor. So yeah, just the amendment.
Yeah.
Correct. Those in favour? Those against? Okay. That's been lost. Can I just... get them to raise their hands, those in favour. So those in favour, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Boglari. Uh-oh. Somebody's thinking.
Come on, Chris, what do you vote?
One, two, three, four, five. Okay. Councillor Boglari, I'm just lost here because I've got Chris sitting in a councillor's seat. So, hands up again, sorry. Councillor Boglari, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte. All right, so that's been the amendment's been lost, so we go back to the alternative motion that was raised. Do we need any further discussion? Can I put the motion then, councillors? Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against, Councillor Hewlett. Thank you. Well done, councillors. Moving on to the next item, 13.4, is the Wynnum Creek petition. Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor... Seconded, Councillor Elliott. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Just briefly, this is a petition from some residents requesting that the car park in Wynnum Creek didn't proceed on the southern side. It's taken some time to come back here, but the responses to the issues they raised have been certainly very well covered. This, for way of background, the PDA for Wynnum Creek was entered into in 2013. We're 5 years on for that. We're making some significant headway now. The concerns that were raised in the petition have been addressed mainly through expert reports, and shows that their concerns should be allayed. There was one aspect there that they said about land devaluation. I'd just like to point out that there's been considerable interest in the market around that area at the moment. I've had residents contact me saying that there are people making offers for their properties when they're not even being listed, so I think there's going to be potential for uplift in that area. So I support the officer's recommendation and the recommendation is written, and I believe the principal petitioner will be notified accordingly.
Any speakers against? Comments? Questions? Questions? Councillor Hughes and Councillor Boglari.
Thank you, Mayor. Through yourself and potentially to the report author, Andrew Ross, our General Counsel, how many people had signed this petition that came to us? Because we've had a couple of different petitions, haven't we? One for, one against?
Yep, we've had a number.
Is that right?
We had a yes.
So the report doesn't actually say, I don't think, how many...
It doesn't really matter, I don't think, but... It has to be more than 10, councillor.
To myself, but do we know? Thank you, Mr. Ross.
Through you, Madam Mayor, we do know the figure, but I don't have it offhand. There were several pages to the petition. There were two petitions we received over the last 6 months, one for, one against. But I don't have the exact figure of the...
Okay.
It doesn't change the report.
Petitions yet.
Thank you.
Any other... Wendy, Councillor Boglari?
The motion is just that we're noting that there's professional advice and it's a satisfactory response to the issues that were raised in their petition. But I've spoken to Councillor Edwards, and I know that he has spoken to these people, but the residents that are concerned. And I think there's an article in this week's paper. I think I saw a photo when I flicked through quickly last night, but I haven't had a chance to read it. But I do have a concern about the ongoing concerns of those residents. And I was just wondering, are the officers actually going to meet with them to explain this? Because there seems to be, the information in here doesn't seem to be the information which, you know, which they're thinking is the outcome. So I'd like to have clarity for everybody in the community. And
I suspect that they've already met with the principal petitioner a number of times. Yeah, so it's been, I think they have actually met with them, but if that principal petitioner requires further information...
Well, I was saying to Councillor Edwards yesterday, I recently went down to that Bodies Market at Vicky Point, finally got there, and a couple of people from that were involved in this recognised me and came and spoke to me then, and there does seem to be a differing of opinion on many of the aspects, so I just want to make sure that they are getting that clarity. And does Councillor Edwards need any more support in talking to the residents to...
I think that's why we had... two petitions, one for and one against, because there is such differing opinion.
Okay.
So, but I'm sure Councillor Edwards will seek advice or further further information if requested.
Has had some suggestions about how it could mediate his particular situation. So, overall, the my read of the matter is that the majority of the people around there, and I'm referring to the mainland, are supportive, particularly those people who are impacted on the northern side. And I think with any project of any size, there will always be tension. And generally, I think that there are matters that can be worked through. And at the other end, a lot of the time, the situations that people fear don't arise.
Okay. Is that a question, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, just I thank Councillor Boglari for raising that, and also for Councillor Edwards representing the citizens. I'd just like to ask, if I can, for clarity, which officers have met with the principal petitioners?
The debate. Happy to take it offline.
The reason I think it may be relevant, if I may, is in relation to the works that are happening down there. Council, as a land owner and manager of the area, with Redlands Investment Corporation, I think it's important that we have clarity that when a matter comes to council, that officers from council are those who are doing that discussion and deliberation, so that the separation between Redlands Investment Corporation as a land manager and developer and council officers has absolute clarity and certainty in the minds of the community. So I'll take that on notice if you feel as though that's a matter that you're not prepared to have answered.
Well,
at this
I would
point,
suggest, Councillor, with the greatest respect, that numerous councillors have met with these petitioners.
I'm talking officers, actually.
No, numerous officers. In fact, I can vouch from my office having people
attend.
That would
be helpful for me to understand that, because I think it's important that we have that clarity as councillors.
That's fine. Well, the petition is being responded to, and if they have any further questions, either through Rick or through Council, they're more than able to ask those officers directly.
Yeah, I just think one of those points of clarity, as we have Redlands Investment Corporation and we are Redlands City Council, we need to be clear about that conversation with the community so that everyone's
working. I can assure you
together.
They've tried every avenue and to speak to every officer that could potentially help
Thank
them.
You.
So, okay. Councillor Edwards, would you like to sum up? The motion, those in favour? Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Councillors, there are no reports from infrastructure and operations. Merrill Minute notices of motion. You want to move into confidential, Councillor Elliott? Move, Councillor Elliott. Move into closed session. Seconded, Councillor Hughes. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. So I can thank. Just give them some time to get that. He's not well. He's got a wog. All right, are we ready? Okay, councillors. We're recording, councillors. We need to have a motion that includes the extra words as amended on item 19.1. So moved by Councillor Bishop, seconded by Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? This is to do with the... those against. I don't think you guys know what you're voting against. No, you're not. Anyway. Okay, all right, fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Those in favour? It's carried. Those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Hill.
You've got me confused.
19.1. Yeah, as amended. Councillor Boglari, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams, those against Councillor Tolte and Councillor Gleeson. Items 19.2. An alternative motion has been put forward. Councillor Boglari is moving that alternative motion. It's being seconded by Councillor Hughes. Those in favour? Those against? That motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Hewlett, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Tolte, Bishop Williams. Those against, Councillor Gleeson. Purchase of land, Wellington Point. We have the officer's recommendation to be moved. Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, those against, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Williams. The next item is item 19.4, moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Boglari, those in favour, those against, the motion is, those against, motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Tolte. Thank you so much, councillors, for allowing us to step through all of that, and the meeting is closed at 12:14.